ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नायस्य कारिचित् राजन् पुमान् विदवदीक्षितम् यद्विज्ञासाय युक्ता यद्विजिज्ञासा युक्ता मुयान्तु कवयोपिः नहि यस्य करिचित् राजन् पुमान् विदवदीक्षितम् तद्विजिज्ञासया युक्ता मुयान्ति कवयोपिः। Somebody.
They're waiting for me, but I had the wrong glasses.
What? Ladies, please. Never. He certainly. Asya. His. Karichit. Whatsoever. Rajan. O king. Puman. Anyone. Veda. Knows. Vidisitam. Plan. Yat. Which. Vigyasaya. With exhaustive inquiries. Yukta, being engaged. Muyanti, bewildered. Kavaya, great philosophers. Api, even. He, certainly. Translation. O King, no one can know the plan of Lord Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma Dev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhishthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, and he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Omagyan timidandas yagananjana shalakaya chakshur umilitam yena tasmai sigurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam ina bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svaparantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they're bewildered. Hare Krishna. So no one can understand Krishna. Take even a dog, a street dog, any dog, cannot understand your plan. That you want to go today to Loy Bazaar or whether you want to eat a pizza and MVT. He cannot understand. But you, in fact, you don't understand what you're going to do next sometimes. Like, you don't know when you have to go to the bathroom. Even you don't know that. Such a simple thing. So what to speak of Krishna's plan? And Krishna's plan is very vast. Just like, for example, if we think of whatever is going on in this planet, it's certainly under Krishna's control. And certainly, Krishna's plan is behind it. But his plan is vast because he sits in the heart of all creatures. He knows what everybody else is scheming. He knows what everybody else's intention is. And so he makes a plan accordingly. According to his idea and how this fits together, how he can bring everything together in such a way that his plan will be carried out and fulfilled. So he has enormous insight, absolute insight in this situation. It's like a general who has absolute insight in the plans of his opponent. He will be able to conquer him. So Krishna has absolute insight in every living entity, Savasya Chaham Didi Sani Vishto, or Ishvara, even better, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ridesi Aduna Tishtati. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani, he actually moves everybody. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani means he moves everybody. We cannot even lift our hands without Krishna. We cannot speak without Krishna. We cannot say anything, hear anything. Our whole sensory perception is controlled by Krishna. Our senses, that's why he is called Rishikesh, the controller of the senses. So nobody can understand. And if we try so, we just become bewildered. There are plenty of verses who describe this. And no one understands Krishna. No one knows Krishna. How do we know Krishna? He says, Vedaham samati tani vatmani chajuna bhavishyani chabhutani mam tu vedana kashana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Lord, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, all the things that are yet to come. I know every living entity, but me no one knows. No one knows. Tribir guna maya bhavaya, deluded by the three modes of nature, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and am inexhaustible. Nobody knows. People speculate. They have their ideas about God. The world is full of theories about God. But to know God, we have to be on the platform of pure devotional service. Like Krishna says, only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you. It requires an enormous amount of piety, even to understand the universe. Stephen Hawking tries to understand the universe. He's a great mathematician, he's a great physicist. But as far as understanding God, as soon as he opened his mouth and said there is no God, we can understand he's fool number one. Because that's in the field not anymore of physics, that's in the field of metaphysics. But even in the world of physics, you can the universal form, which incorporates all the planets, can be seen only by Arjuna after Krishna touches his eyes, after Krishna gives him this vision. So no scientist can understand. It is hopeless to understand the universe. Even Brahma can't understand it. What to speak of a karmi like Stephen Hawking? How can he understand? What can we understand? Extremely little. We should be humble about our position, that we do not know much. And Krishna says very clearly, Naham Prakasha Savasya Yoga Maya Samavitaha. Mudo yam nabijanati, that fools cannot see me, and everyone in this material world is a first-class fool. We don't know anything. And therefore our opinions, your opinion, my opinion, they're worthless. They're worthless. Whatever we think, our ideas, this is my idea, I think this, I think that, it has no meaning. I'm 43 years in the movement. Does it mean that my opinion is of any value? No. Unless it is based on Shastra. Unless it is based on the teachings, on Parampara, on the teachings of Srila, then it becomes valuable. Otherwise, my opinion is as good as your opinion, as good as anybody's opinion. So whatever we think is not important, unless our thinking is based on Shastra. Shastra has to be the central piece. Otherwise, our thinking is defect by the four defects of material existence, as we all know. Four defects. How can we think perfect? How can we postulate truth? How can we understand anything in our conditioned state? We can't. And if we come out that we know, that we think we know, we make fools out of ourselves. One time, a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I'm thinking. And Prabhupada said, don't do that. He said, don't do that. because his thinking is on the platform of the senses, on the platform of the mind. We are conditioned. We have to understand our limits. And so if you want to speak truth, it has to be based on Shastra. Otherwise it is not possible. Even great sages are bewildered. Lord Chaitanya, he used to quote this verse from Mahabharata. Taku pratishta shutayu vinna, etc. I don't want to read the whole Sanskrit. Otherwise people will laugh in the higher planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great sage whose opinion doesn't differ from another one is not considered a sage. Simply variegated, simply studying the Vedas, one cannot understand the truth. The solid truth is hidden in the heart of the unadulterated self-realized persons. Or even the verse spoken by Yamaraj. Although fully situated, dharman hi sakshat tu bhagavat panitam, religion is made by God. He said, even great rishis, nasida muka asura munusya, kuto na vidya dara chara nadaya, even great sages and heavenly planets, the demigods, the leaders of siddha loka, to say nothing of asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas, charanas, they cannot understand. These are people on siddha loka, they can't understand. We can't understand truth unless it comes from Shastra, unless it comes from Parampara. We should have great mistrust to our mind. Our mind is sometimes addressed as the elephant of our mind. Krishna, save me from the elephant of my mind and from the hurricane of the senses. The senses are like a hurricane. And the mind is always changing. The mind of a human being is going... How can you understand him? Every moment he's changing. The mind is changing. So we can't have faith in our mind. I can't have faith in my mind. You can't have faith in your mind. We have to base our faith on Krishna. We have to base our faith on Shastra. We have to base our faith on Guru Parampara. And Sakala Niyamata Yugunashta Parantapa. When that parampara is broken, the knowledge is lost, Krishna says. There's no knowledge. Yoga Nashta Parantapa. There's no knowledge. The knowledge is lost as soon as the parampara breaks. So therefore our only hope to discern what is what is parampara, the teachings. And of the in parampara, when it comes to understanding truth, we all know Narada Das Thakur spoke that this verse, let me just see if I can pull it up. It's actually Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that Shastra Chakshu, that we have to see through the eyes of scripture. And Narottam Das Thakur says, Saru Shastra Guru Vakya Chitite Kariya Aikya. One should accept things as genuine by studying the words of saintly persons, the spiritual master and Shastra. But, Prabhupada says, the actual centra is Shastra, the revealed scripture. If the spiritual master does not speak according to revealed scripture, he is not to be accepted. Similarly, a saintly person does not speak, if he does not speak according to Shastra, he is not saintly. The Shastra is the center of all. So even sometimes in discussion, Srila Prabhupada said this and Srila Prabhupada said that, it may be according to time, place and circumstances. And if we can't make up our mind, the centerpiece to decide is Shastra. It's always Shastra, it's at the center. We have to go back to Shastra if there is duality. Otherwise there is no possibility that we can discern truth. In this triad of Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, the center is Shastra. Guru has to be in line with Shastra, Sadhu has to be in line with Shastra. Shastra is the centerpiece. Without Shastra, we are lost. It is a mother. And by the mother, you know the father. Mother, if your mother doesn't tell me who is my father, how can I know? There are billions of fathers in this world. I don't know. I have to rely on that information. I have to rely on the information that comes from mother. I have to rely on the information that comes from scripture to understand father, to understand Krishna. So if we want to understand Krishna, we have to put our faith in Shastra and we have to live according to Shastra and nothing else. All the ideas other that come from particularly the Western world, there are so many ideas, so many concepts, they're useless. There's theories about God. Theories about... These theories are developed according to the mode of nature a person is in. I can show you this in Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the 17th chapter. Arjuna Uvacha, interestingly enough, he starts with the same first Yashastra Vidimutsri Javatate Kamakarata. As Krishna says, if we don't depend on Shastra, Vatate Kamakarata, and work through our minds, na sasidima vapnoti na sukam na paramgatim, neither will we know we will achieve perfection, na sukam, no happiness, na paramgatim, nor will we go back to Godhead. We will not go back to Godhead if we base our decision on our mind. So he says, Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, that's 5,000 years ago. that people may admire. Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principle of scripture, of Shastra, but worship according to their own imagination? There you have it. There you have it. They worship because the whole world is full of people who worship according to their own imagination. Christian theology, it is established by now that there's a difference between the Jesus of history, the Jesus that walked, and the Jesus of the faith, the theological construct of Jesus. There's a difference because human beings have the tendency to impose their own ideas on everything, on truth, for example. And therefore you have so many different types of Christianity. 3,000-4,000 different congregations who don't agree with each other, denominations who don't agree with each other, because everybody is depending on his mind. It's an ocean of theories. So the discussion goes on. Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of God, it says, according to the modes of nature acquired by embodied soul, one's faith will be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about that. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under a mode of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living entity is said to be in a particular type of faith according to the modes he has acquired. So, if we are not free from the modes of nature, we will, in the religious world, acquire a particular kind of faith. We'll have a particular kind of vision, which is based either on goodness, on ignorance, and on passion. In ignorance, you think religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion. That's one of the verses that follows. You concoct. And the whole world is full of concoction. The whole world is full of concoction. My idea, your idea about God. Stephen Hawking has his idea about God. It doesn't mean anything. It's just like bubbles in the sea, these ideas. Even personalities who speak like, they're just bubbles in the sea, they come and go. They have no meaning. Unless it is based on Shastra, it has no meaning. We should get this in our mind, and we have to live up to Shastra, although it is difficult. Not that we change the paradigm. We have to come up to the paradigm. And if we can't do this today, we should do it tomorrow or sometimes. We should keep this in mind. I'm very unfortunate if I can't live up to Shastra. Not that I say, well, I don't believe in Shastra. Like somebody I met on a recent trip in Los Angeles, somebody said, I had an argument with him. I said, you know, you don't understand, obviously, Srila Prabhupada. Where's your love? And the person said, I love Srila Prabhupada, but I don't like what he says. I don't like what he says. So we have no other choice. If we want to go to Krishna, we have to base our faith in Shastra. That's why it says, Ya Shastra Vidim Uchita. In this way, Vathate Kamakarata. If we do that on the mind, Nasasirima Vapnati, we will not go back to Godhead. As simple as that. As simple as that, we will not go back to Godhead. And that's the crux, the actual question we have to ask. What does bring me back to Godhead? If we follow our mind, forget it. Samadhu Navidyate. There's no question to come to that platform. It is Shastra. It's the most important thing is Shastra. It has to be based on Shastra, not on the local paradigm, on this idea, that idea. It can't. And so, we are fortunate. We are extremely fortunate that we are in a line of disciplic succession where God appeared only 10 or 12 generations before, Krishna Chaitanya himself. And he spoke completely on Shastra. He established our Sampradaya in a very solid way. And if we follow Lord Chaitanya, if we follow Parampara, then we will not be bewildered. And if we don't, hey, there's an ocean of conclusions. An ocean of conclusions. And so Krishna does Kaviraj. He's praying that Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mvande Balo Piyat Anugrahat Tare Nana Mata Graha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. I offer my obeisance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusions about the ultimate truth. There's an ocean of conclusions. This jnani, that jnani, puts forward his conclusion, what he thinks should be done, what he thinks is true. An ocean of conclusion. Prabhupada said, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an inexperienced boy, and that's what we are inexperienced boys and girls, that's all. With no educational culture, that's us, most of us, particularly from the Western world, absolutely no culture when it comes to spiritual life is concerned. No doubt about it. I remember when, just a simple thing, I mean, a young boy wanted to marry a girl in our temple in Ireland, and I invited the Indian community from Belfast. They came with 8 buses to see this marriage. And I said to my wife, we have to rent a horse. I've seen in India there's a horse. So as soon as the horse arrived, the wife started to fight with her husband that she wanted to sit on the horse. And it went on and on and on. Then they decided they both sit on the horse. So the horse owner said, you would break the back of that poor horse, either one or none. In the meantime, Mr., what was his name, Shukla, the Brahmin from the Hindu temple came, Mr. Prithudasa, Havan is already starting. I said, you know, I can't do anything. The wife wants to sit on the horse. He said, the wife wants to sit on the horse. He couldn't believe it. Anyway, time was pressing. And the wife rode into the Yagyashala on a horse like the Maharani of Udaipur. And he was walking very humbly. He was very upset. He was beaten because he couldn't resist the relentless attacks of his wife, his future wife. So he was, and all the Indians were laughing and said, Mr. Prithudas, in our culture, one man stood up. It is differently. It should be the other way around. You should change that. I said, I can't, because the wife wants to sit on the horse. Then Mr. Shukla came and said, Mr. Brinkman, Mr. Prithudas, she doesn't understand how to be a wife. That's the problem. That marriage will not last. And it broke. It broke. It can't last. It's impossible. So there is no even basic understanding. I could get into this and tell you stories over stories. thinking about it, in our temple in Heidelberg, somebody brought tulsi seeds, and we planted these, and they grew and grew to the ceiling. And our GBC Hans Dutta said at that time, "Just see, this is your piety." And then some Indian, and we were dancing around this tree, it went to the ceiling. Some Indian life member came and said, "Mr. Prithudas, why are you worshipping bamboo tree?" "Why are you worshipping a bamboo tree?" I said, "It is tulsi." "It is not, it is bamboo. I am from India, this is bamboo tree." When I was a young Brahma tribe, since we are at it, I had to go to the number bathroom. So I did. It was a rainy day. It was outside. So after that, I washed my hands in the grass and went like this. So a young devotee saw that. He did the same thing. He did, and he took the urine in his hand and put it into a sika. So I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, the same you're doing." He said, that's not our sadhana. That's not part of our religion. I did very differently. So you see, there's basic understanding is missing in many people. You're laughing because, I mean, you have to laugh. You're from India. I have to cry when I think about that. So we don't know what is Dharma. We have to learn what is Dharma. Dharma hi sakshat bhagavat panitan. The world of religion is full of Dharma. This idea, that idea. And ultimately, the Christians threw Jesus out of his own movement because of ideas. He was thrown out, not physically, but subtly he was thrown out because they established something different from him, what he didn't have in mind. So this is what we have to understand. Nobody can know the plan of Lord Krishna. We don't know God. We have very little idea what is God. We are imposing our ideas on God. That's what we do. We are projecting. Just like take a rat. If I were to ask the rat, what is God? The rat said, God is a gigantic rat with a tail from here to the fridge, and he has a golden fur and a crown on his head. That's not God.
And lots of cheese.
Huh?
And lots of cheese.
Lots of cheese. That's not God. That's according to the conception. So we are conceptualizing. This is our disease. Always, we are conceptualized. And we always, in this way, invent something different. I remember in his last days, actually one of the, as far as I remember, I was in the room. The second last thing Prabhupada said. The very last thing was another thing, I know that as well. But the second last thing, Bhakti Churu Swami gave Prabhupada medicine, and Prabhupada asked, although it was on one of his last days, he said, he hardly could speak. He said, did you close the bottle? And Bhakti Sri Swami said, no. Then Prabhupada, it took a long time to utter this. He said, that is your disease. He said, all of you. You know how to open bottles. You don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, but you don't see the consequences. That's what Prabhupada said. This is, in a nutshell, Western or human society. Whole environment is polluted, the bodies are polluted, the rivers are polluted, the oceans are polluted, we have biological pollution, we have chemical pollution, we have genetic pollution. Everything is ruined because of opening bottles. That is, Prabhupada said, that is your disease. You know how to open bottles, you don't know how to close them. That's the disease right there. And so we have to be very careful that we don't open the bottle unless we understand what we are opening there. We can't see the consequences. So better is to stick to simple things. Krishna, Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the crooked. Better is to stay very simple and to stay with Mother Shastra, with scripture, and hear from scripture. And I know it is difficult to implicate, but we have to. At least we have to have this ideal that this is what we want to, in the direction which we want to go. Just like, for example, Varnashram Dharma. You know, it's very difficult for us to implicate, even to get our head around, but we have to because we have to come up to that. If we can't follow something, not that we throw this out. We said, I cannot follow this right now, but we have to get there. We have to get to family culture. We have to get there. We can't just say, well, we can't live according to the Vedic standards, okay, therefore let's throw out the Vedic standards. No. We have to understand we may not be able to accomplish that. But we have to understand the Shastra, the standards, devotional standards are given by God and by nobody else. And Shastra does not change. Our mind changes every 5 minutes. Shastra doesn't change. People change. Worlds change. But the Shastra is always the same because the Shastra comes from the breathing of Vishnu. It's Vishnu's breath. Tene Brahma Ridaya Arikavai Muyanti Atsurayaha. In this way, it is disseminated from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyasa, etc. That is the way of the sages. That is our only hope we have. There is no other hope outside of that. There is no other concept that can be accepted. There is no other idea that can be accepted. Everything else is kacha, as they say in India. It doesn't mean anything. It's just some opinion. It's just some opinion. Opinions don't mean anything. So we have to hear from Shastra. Then we can know Krishna. Then we can even, in due course of time, we maybe even know why Krishna is doing something. Why Krishna is doing something. And generally it comes clear in due course of time to everybody that he understands why this happened and why that happened. It had to happen. So this is our position that we have to hear today when we hear this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, how Bhishma speaks. He said, no one can understand the plan of the Lord. We can't. It is hopeless. From this we have to take this one lesson, how small we are, how tiny we are, and how insignificant we are, and how foolish we are, that we have come into this material world. As soon as you look in the morning into the mirror and you go, yes, that's me, you make a mistake. You said, here he is a fool, just coming out of bed. Yet you took a material body. This body, that body, it is your foolishness. This body that I'm having, it is my foolishness. Foolishness. Everybody is. Because if somebody thinks he's God, he's most foolish. Like Prabhupada, he drove with Shamashunda. Shamashunda told me in Calcutta. And on every lamppost, there was a post of this one famous Mayavadi. There's a turban on his head, standing like this. Vivekananda. And Prabhupada said, do you know what he is saying? Shamashunda said, no. He's saying something, Prabhupada said. Look at his lips, he's saying. So Shamashunda said, what is he saying, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, I'm fool number one. Fool number one. Because he thinks that he's God. But that's the greatest foolishness. I don't think anybody here in this audience thinks he's God. But still we are puffed up, still we are proud, still we think we know. Whereas in fact we don't. We don't. Our sensory perception, our mental capacity, our intellectual capacity doesn't reach to come to truth on our own stamina, on our own capacity. We can't. As simple as that. And anybody who pretends that he can do that, he's a pretender. And the world is full of pretender. We have been pretending so much. We have to give up this pretentious attitude, search our heart and admit we don't know. Therefore, before we come to a conclusion, we should think twice. We should always go back to this one verse. Bhishma said, we don't know. Krishna knows. We don't know a religion. Dhammanhi sakshat pranitan. Yamaraj said, that is another wonderful verse, that, my dear servants, the transcendental religious principles known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrendering unto the Supreme Lord and love Him, is uncontaminated by the modes of nature. There you have it. We talked about it. In the modes of nature, you form a particular kind of faith. So true Bhagavad Dharma is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. It is very difficult. It is very confidential and very difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, he's immediately liberated and he returns back home, back to Godhead. Yeah, very difficult to understand. That's why Krishna says, pravittim cha, nivittim cha, janana vidur asura. na socham, na pichacharo, na satyam, tishuvira. They don't know how to behave, they're not clean, they're not situated in truth. That's the condition of a general living being. Krishna is beyond. And knowledge of Krishna is apurusheya, superhuman knowledge. It can't be acquired by our own capacity. He's beyond illusion. Kunti, one of the greatest Vedic women, she spoke this famous verse, Maya Javani Katshanam. Adhoksajam, Krishna's adhoksajam. Na lakshasi mudhadresha, the fools cannot understand. She says, being beyond the range of limited sense perception, that's Krishna. Beyond our sensory perception. He's a multi-dimensional being. We can understand only three dimensions. And right now I see you. Say, for example, you want to meet somebody in a department store. At 6 o'clock, at 6:15, you take your cell phone and say, where are you? He said, well, I'm in the same place. I'm here. He said, no, I don't see you. I look everywhere. He said, yes, I'm here. So they are in the same location. If you look at longitude, latitude, they're in exactly the same situation, but one is in the fifth floor, the other is in the first floor. Therefore, they can't see each other. The guy's in another dimension. It's a very simple example. So we are tied within three dimensions, and God is multidimensional. That's why one gopi can, not even a gopi can see the other gopi, because every gopi is dancing with Krishna in its own dimension. He has no access to the other dimension. That living being that is able to associate with unlimited living beings on an individual basis, in a very personal way, is only God who can do this, because he's a multidimensional being. And we are very tiny and very small and very foolish if we think we know. We don't. We have to hear. We are born in ignorance. Omagyan timdandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshutamunitam yinatasmai sri guravi namaha. We are born in ignorance. But Prabhupada opens us the eyes to Shastra, to scripture. That's why we have to read. We have to understand Prabhupada. Then there's hope for us. I thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any question? He's a famous Bhaji Narai Maharaj. He's a fighter.
So, this is the traditional presentation that browbeats us into it. We're fools, and it just beats us.
It's true.
Beats us into blind submission. But the fact of the matter is, even your example about how do you know your father, you ask your mother, otherwise there's no other knowing, and then your mother, the analogy of Shastra, knowing Krishna. You're scratching around in the mud. We do DNA testing now. Even the mother denies it, we can prove who the father is. So we've made progress.
You
so
can.
If we'd listen to you, we'd be scratching in the mud in the dark ages.
No, you can't, because there are so many, how many DNA tests you want to do? And maybe your father just died. He's already gone. He died. Next day he had a heart attack while he was having sex with his wife. And he died. He's not there anymore. How will you understand who's the father unless the mother tells you? The father is not around for DNA testing. He's gone.
Srila
Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
make up maybe flavor.